Welcome to worship at College Park. So blessed to be a part of worship today. A few announcements we'll begin with. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, very simple, pew pads. Write your name, contact information, check a box or two or three, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Members and guests, we ask you to fill this out. Once it reaches that last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it began this morning, we do ask that first person, when that pew pad comes back to you, if you were to tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much for that. Reminder to our kids, we are having children's time right after the first hymn. Come on down and meet me for just a few moments. Speaking of kids, this is our last week of all of our camps. Children's Day Camp, which is for first through sixth grade, that will happen every day from 9 until 3, and you can still sign up for that. We have spots available. And then Preschool Day Camp, the final day, is on Thursday from 9 until 12. So it's a big week as we finish up all of our summer activities this week. Looking forward to some fun day camp days this week. Big Raj has an announcement.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's a thin crowd out there. I need to give you a report. We had a team of me and three yesterday. We had three people doing electrical work, manning light fixtures, and putting in plugs and switches. I left at 12 o'clock, and Doug had three left. Doug Richardson, Barry Nelson, and
Earl Blake.
Were the three who were putting those parts in. Habitat has a team of about 15 there, putting the floor covering down and working on getting ready for the caps to go in this week. So we're getting real close. HVAC and plumbing should be done this week. Still got the vinyl around the porch to be finished in about half a day. And the post and the railing around the porch we've got to put in. And then the landscaping, and that'll be it. It's been a fantastic project. We've had a lot of people. I've got the Whitney Burnell has compiled a list of all the different people who've been on the job. I think we're going to be surprised how many people, new people, have been involved in this project. It's been a great project. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. A good report there. I'd just like to say that this coming Saturday, 48 of us and 48 of our seniors will be going to Mount Airy to see Annie, and we leave at 4:15. I thought it'd be easier just to tell you that here to remind you, because we're getting some questions about being reminded. It is 4:15 we leave and head to Mount Airy. And also we appreciate June and Anita and Alice, who have this year been working together with me, and just it's just been wonderful. Their work on our trips has been outstanding, as well as the group that went with Anita and all this past week to the Flat Rock Pass. But we do appreciate these times of fellowship. God works through these times to bring people closer to each other, and as we embrace life and help people to just enjoy the joy of fellowship and all that life has to offer. But also, I've had a few questions about the grief support group when we start back up. It is in September. So we start back with our grief support group in September, and you'll be hearing about that. And thank you.
Okay, a couple other things draw your attention to. Youth lock-in this Friday. Need lots of chaperones for that. Y'all are welcome to sign up to be lock-in chaperone. No? Really? Okay. But we do have lock-in this Friday from 11 to 7 o'clock in the morning. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Opportunities for the week, upcoming events. So we want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so thankful for you being a part of worship today. Ushers are coming down the aisles now. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we thank you for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. These ushers will find you and recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. You'll find out a little bit of the history of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. This morning, it commenced raining. That's not something you're used to seeing on a Sunday morning. But just the rain was heavy, and I got to thinking that someday we just don't want the rain. We usually just want the sunshine. But without the rain, what would grow? The rain is necessary for the earth to grow. And the dark clouds roll in sometimes, and we don't understand the thunder and the lightning, why it's coming. When the rain comes, God is providing for his people through that rain. And I wonder this morning, is there a storm in your life? Is there something that you just don't know why you're having to go through this? God walks through those things with us. And there are growing opportunities because of that rain. This morning, hold on to the truth that God is still here, walking through the storm with you. That's why we worship. That's why we're here this morning. Let's prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, that is our call this morning, to bring the sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving to you. Father, fill our hearts with gladness, with joy, with thanksgiving. Being in this place changes everything. When you enter into the sanctuary, it changes everything about worship. Everything begins when you show up. So we invite you into this place. May everything that's done in this sanctuary be done to glorify your name and your name alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, invite the kids. Come on down. See any. I think everybody's all right. Oh, I knew there was one more. There he comes. All right, I never get really nervous about children's time, but I'm a little nervous about this morning, okay? I need you to answer me a question. Everybody's crisscross applesauce looking this way. Everybody's eyes right here. Is everybody's eyes right here? Jared, your eyes right here? Right here? All right. I have a question. Have you ever had a really bad dream? Oh. And when you wake up from a really bad dream, what do you feel like? You have to use the bathroom sometimes. I knew it was going there somewhere. Sometimes you feel sick. And you want to feel better, right? But sometimes you don't feel. You wake up from a really, really bad dream and something scary happened in it. You know, those bad dreams, they're not fun, are they? No, they're not fun. But I want a little secret. A little secret. There's something that you can say when you wake up and you remember, nothing can separate me from Jesus. There's a very important scripture this morning. Pastor Raymond is going to talk about, sometimes your moms and your dads, they have bad days. We all have nightmares or bad dreams, but there is nothing ever, even a bad dream, that can separate you from Jesus' love. Can you say, nothing can separate me from Jesus' love? Can you say that with me? Nothing can separate me from Jesus' love. Can y'all help me say that? Nothing can separate me from Jesus' love. When you have a nightmare, whether it's real or when we're sleeping, we remember, nothing can separate us from Jesus' love. We say that, and we remember how much God loves us and that He is right there with us, even in the midst of the bad dream. Is that something good for us to remember? Is that something good for us to remember? Nothing can separate us from Jesus' love. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we have bad dreams, and we wake up scared and not sure what's going on. We feel sick. Help us to remember, even on a bad day, even in a bad dream, that nothing can separate us from Jesus' love. What a great promise that is. Thank you for making that promise to us and always being there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. Go back to your seats.
Good. Today in God's Word, we're going to be looking together at 1 John 4, verses 7 through 19, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible. On Wednesday nights, if you haven't had the chance to join us, we're looking at the small letters that are provided for us in God's Word and to provide encouragement and give us hope and assurance. And if we hope you'll come and be with us. The Wednesday night crowd is a great crowd, a lot of good intimate fellowship. Everybody sort of lets their hair down. And just maybe too much sometimes. No, we all let our hair down. We just have a good time together. We laugh. We sing sometimes. We pray together and share our hopes and dreams and prayer requests. So I hope you can be with us on Wednesday nights. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen Him and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Let's go to God in prayer together. Thank you, God, for these encouraging words about love that remind us that this kind of love could never begin in us. We could never create it or drum it up or make it happen. It has to come directly from your presence inside of us by your gentle spirit. Only you can create the kind of love it takes to love like Jesus loved and like he loves us now. Thank you for letting us move into that kind of life that's marked by your love and fueled by your love. The kind of love that is eternal. The kind of love that's always there for us if we but turn to you in your hand of love. As we talked about the storm earlier, some of us heard thunder this morning and the rains came. But just as the disciples were out on the boat, you came to them walking on the water in the midst of the storm, and your kind of love makes it clear to us that there's nothing that will keep you from your children when we are hurting, when we're in pain, when we're suffering, when we're confused, we need direction. No matter what, you will not stop at anything to get to your children to help us and to lift us up out of the waves and to comfort us. Thank you for that kind of love that comes to us in the midst of the storm. And thank you for the love that changes us into the likeness of Jesus bit by bit until one day we'll be there with you face to face. So thank you for that transforming love, that determined love that comes to us always. And Father, we thank you so much for the love that is for eternity that we carry with us all the way to heaven. Thank you so much for Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, as Jeff mentioned, we are thankful for the rain and for the sun, Lord. And in that light, we're thankful for the good things that you provide us and the answers we don't always understand. We ask that you will bless everything that we return to you for your glory, Lord, and that it will all be for the benefit and the praise of your kingdom, and that we might bring others closer to your understanding through the words that we sing and the prayers that we lift up and the praises that we give, Lord, and all the work that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
See you. We're going to read a passage of Scripture today that is probably very familiar to you. You've no doubt seen portions of it on t-shirts or mugs or counted cross stitch or things like that. And Jeff has already given you a little bit of clue into where we're going. But let's read the whole passage. It's actually a continuation. The Revised Common Lectionary reading is a continuation of last week. Last week, you recall, we were talking about the future glory and living in the Spirit and all those type of things. Well, he continues on in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verse 26 down through verse 39. Verse 39, which closes out the chapter, so give you a moment if you want to turn with me. Verse 26. Paul is writing, and he says this, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, as we read your word, we're reminded over and over and over again how much you love us and how much you've given for us so that we can have life eternal. Life not separated from you, but life, true life, through Jesus Christ. So we're thankful. Our hearts are truly thankful. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. We are quickly approaching my favorite time of the year, and that is the beginning of football season. It is a glorious time. It truly is. And part of that season of the year are those inspirational locker room speeches, most of which have to be edited, partial or in large part. But as you look back through the years at some inspirational locker room speeches, there were several names that came to my mind. Vince Lombardi, that guy could give a speech. If you're a Steelers fan, maybe Chuck Knoll. Or the great Tom Landry. He was not particularly a fiery personality, but he could really give a speech. More recently, maybe the flamboyant Ray Lewis, or when Tim Tebow was in college, they said he was quite an inspirational locker room speaker. Also, more recently, the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts coach Chuck Pagano, after he had had his battle with cancer. There are several speeches on record that were just truly inspirational, highly motivating. And perhaps you have someone come to your mind, as I said, inspiring locker room speeches, but I doubt that the Apostle Paul's name came to your mind as we talk about inspiring locker room speeches. And yet, And yet, what we have just read in Romans chapter 8, I believe rivals the greatest locker room speeches of all time. Just look at the phrases that just drip with inspiring conviction. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? He says, we're more than conquerors. And he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And with words like that, how can we not want to live with confidence in a love that's going to see us through no matter what the circumstances? The love that sees us through has to be godly. It has to be godly love through and through, because we cannot love to the magnitude necessary if we are given, if it's left to our own devices, if it's left to our own strength. We are not capable of loving to the extent that we need to love to overcome some of life's circumstances. And the whole truth is that following Christ does not make us immune to the sufferings that are possible in this world. We're not immune to it. We're going to have to go through some things in this world. You know, face it, life can be difficult. Life can be very trying. Life can be unspeakably cruel. And in order to overcome that, it takes a very outlandish love to cope with the outrage that life sometimes inspires. You know, maybe you've been hit with so much adversity, you feel like the little girl who was riding her bike happily down the street, and she bumped her head on a low-hanging branch of a tree, and it knocked her off her bike, and she scuffed her knee, and she didn't even bother to pick up her bike. She just ran all the way home and ran into the house hollering at her mom, "Mom, Mom, Joey hurt me." And the mother looked up from what she was doing and said, "Sissy, Joey didn't hurt you. Joey's not even here. Joey went to the grocery store with your daddy." And the little girl had this startled look on her face, and in a bewildered sort of voice, she said, "So that means stuff like this can happen on its own anytime? What a bummer." Yeah, what a bummer. Life like that happens. Life can be cruel. It throws things at us, and then it sometimes leaves us asking questions. Questions like, you know, "God, are you still up there? God, do you still care? Have you left us alone to figure this out?" Those kind of questions. And I don't know, but I fully suspect that those that were reading Paul's letter for the first time probably had a whole lot more questions than we do. Think about it that way. Place yourself in the first century AD. Think about what was happening in history. Think about what was happening in the culture. Don't you think they probably had a lot of questions too? They were just a few years removed from Jesus going away saying, "I'm going to send the Spirit and I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be there with you." You know, they were just a few years removed from all of that. They were still trying to figure out what it meant to live lives that were free from the bondage of the law, that were based more on grace, dependence on the Holy Spirit. They were still figuring it out. We have the benefit of thousands of years of testimonies of other believers' experiences that we can read about, not only in New Testament, but through history, how believers have questioned, how they've been frustrated, how they've been angry with God, and yet how they figured it out. That the faithfulness of God is constant. You know, we can read all of that, and yet we still sometimes wonder if God has left us here to kind of figure this out by ourselves. And in those darkest moments, we need to hear Paul's words. We need to hear them clearly over and over again. We need to hear Jesus promise that he wouldn't leave or forsake us. We need to hear his promise that the Spirit will be there to comfort and to strengthen, to encourage us. And I don't know about you, but I began questioning myself this week, what would the darkest days look like in my world? What, I mean, what, how bad could it possibly get? Seriously, think about it for just a minute. How bad could it possibly get in your world? What would the darkest day in your world look like? Whether it be in school or whether it be in work or maybe family issues, family relationships or health issues, you know, relationships within the community. What would your darkest day look like? And now consider, hold that right here, and now consider for just a moment the promises of Scripture that we've read today. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? For we are more than conquerors. Nothing, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Now, what in our worst day is more powerful than those promises? What in our worst day is more powerful than God's love? Let's also consider the context of which Paul's writing. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8. And we considered in our relationship with Jesus, you know, the question was, how are you and Jesus doing? You know, what's your life look like? How is your life better as a result of your relationship with Christ? And you remember we talked about, you know, with Jesus in your life, is your life full of courage? Is it full of courage? Is it full of joy? Is it full of love? Are you exhibiting those characteristics as a result of your walk with Christ? Then last week, if you'll remember, we asked the question, why do we hope? Why do we hope? And after a lot of discussion and a long-winded preacher, we finally concluded that Jesus is the sole reason for our hope. And that's sufficient. No matter what life circumstances are like, no matter what is thrown at us, we have hope in the person of Jesus Christ. No matter the situation, even when it seems hopeless, we have hope. And so we hear these promises as Paul continues that line of thinking. In verse 26, he says, in the same way, and you say, what way is that? Okay, well, you've got to remember, pick up. Last week, we were talking about the work of the Holy Spirit and future glory. He's continuing that train of thought. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, on our worst days, on our absolute darkest days. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And what does that mean? Have you ever been so devastated? Have you ever been so angry, so hurt, so filled with grief that you didn't know what to pray? Now you knew that you should pray, because they taught you that in Sunday school, and sunbeams and all that. You know, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I just can't put the words together. What I take from this verse, among other things, is that even when we don't know how to put the words together, that God, through His Spirit, interprets those inner groanings, as one translation says. That part of us that we can't put in words, the Spirit interprets that to the Father. That's an awesome promise. Even when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit takes care of it. And we can just rest assured that God knows what we're going through, and that we don't even have to put the words together, even on our darkest days. And he continues in verse 27, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And then, if that isn't enough for this one chapter, if that isn't enough good stuff, Paul goes on to drive home again the points we said a minute ago. Who can separate us? Who can separate us from God's love? We're more than conquerors. With God's strength, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, with the claim of future glory, with all those things he's already mentioned in chapter 8, with all of these things, we are more than conquerors. And then wraps it up with who can separate us from God's love? Nobody can. Nothing. There's no power on earth that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ought to be standing up shouting hallelujah at that point. You know, I am so thankful for this passage of Scripture that gives us that kind of hope and that kind of promise. I really am. And we can have hope, therefore. We can have hope, even in the most hopeless circumstances. We can conquer the most puny difficulties here on this earth. We can have a relationship based on hope and grace rather than feel defeated by the law, rather than feel defeated by life's circumstances. Paul wants us to understand that the freedom we have is freedom that is based in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all things spin out of that. So the next time, as Winnie the Pooh would say, having a really, really bad day, next time you're in your darkest days, next time you think that you've had just about as much as you can take or that any one person should have to tolerate, and you just want to say, forget it, I just quit, remember this passage. Remember the love that sees us through it all. Because as Paul could sum it up, he would say, no matter how deep the pain, God's love is deeper. Amen? It's deeper. No matter the pain, God's love is deeper. Let's pray and give him thanks for that. Gracious Father, forgive us when we throw our hands up and say, I don't want any more of this. Forgive us when we get angry with you. Now, we know you can handle it, but we know how it hurts you to see us hurting. So forgive us when we are of little faith in all that you've provided for us to see us through the most difficult circumstances. God, we know that you're up to the task, even when and especially when we're not. So we pray that we would lean fully on you, that our hope and our joy and peace and love, all those things come directly from you. We are completely insufficient at providing for our own needs. Help us to trust you, to depend upon you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. As I've spoken from God's word this morning, you may be at a point where you say, I don't know that kind of love. I've never experienced that kind of love. And if that's the case, there's a high likelihood that you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have a personal relationship with him. You've never invited him to be Lord and Savior of your life. If that's the case, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I want to invite you to come, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can have that kind of relationship. If you don't want to come this morning, give me a call this week. I'll be glad to meet with you, talk with you about how you can have that kind of personal relationship with the Creator God through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here and you say, I do have that kind of relationship, I do know Christ is my Lord and Savior, but man, life just seems overwhelming right now. Let it out. As we sing, just talk to God. Pour it out to him. He knows there's nothing, you know, has it ever occurred to you, nothing occurs to God? So he knows. He gets all that. He gets all that. Be open and honest with him about your pain. And he can touch you. He can touch you. I'd be glad to speak with you and pray with you if you'd like to do that. The altar's certainly open if you'd like to come here and pray. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I love fellowship and love being part of this body of believers, and I want to make it official and come for church membership. There are a lot of ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Oh, what a cross, Savior, is Jesus.
I hope you'll take the opportunity following the benediction and the response to greet one another, encourage one another. If you see someone you don't recognize, take a chance, introduce yourself. They may be charter members, that's okay. Take a little chance there. Greet one another, encourage one another as we go out. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this chance to worship together, to fellowship, to feel not only your love, but your love flowing through us to those around us, and feel the warmth of the return of that love. God, we pray that in the week to come, that you would give us plenty of opportunities to see you at work all around us, and that you will give the prompting of the Spirit to join you in that work that's taking place. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.